time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Pelicans taking on the Bucks tonight. That looks delicious. Pepperoni pizza, he likes to put pineapple on. I love me some pineapple. Bacon on there as well. That's what I'm taking tonight.
What
thank you.
ESPN commentator on one of the shows.
Greenberg.
It's Greenberg.
I like it now.
I do
that.
Like the. I like the,
put some bacon with the pineapple.
I like
the pepperoni.
Spot when him talking about getting his nose hairs waxed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
you
funny.
Like the spot?
Don't ever get anything waxed. Yeah.
I agree.
Right.
I had my back waxed once.
Oh, boy. Uh-uh.
On that note, that hurt.
I'm glad it was just his back.
I want to do the Brazilian.
Hour two is brought to you by Chris's Paving. Not to be confused by Chris's waxes.
It's very smooth. His paving,
his paving is very smooth. He will fix anything that asphalt.
Any cracks you have.
Yes. As a matter of fact, the chef has. Wait a minute. He has used Chris's pavings, haven't you?
You did. You
told
me. We got a quote from him.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good.
There it is. Yeah. I need my driveway redone. It's got all. I mean, it's.
Well, get out there and do it.
You want me to go out there and do it?
Well, you just don't like to work.
No.
You don't want to work.
Have you ever redone a driveway? Huh? Have you ever?
No, because when I bought my house, the driveway was nice.
Well, how about now? It's the same
my
way.
Brother, my dad used to make, my dad was a contractor.
Yep.
And in the 60s, he used to make my brother bust up driveways.
I did it with my grandfather.
Bust up contractor. Let me tell you how you get it up.
Yep, that's what I did. Yep.
Look, drive by Home Depot.
Yep.
You pick up a few guys.
You know what? Let's
couple of cases of beers.
I mean, stop it.
Couple of cases of beers and it's done.
Okay.
Okay.
March Madness.
Moving right along.
Thursday. 6:09 on CBS.
And wasn't you this got morning six, pleasant without him?
Six-seeded Clemson taking on the second seed, Arizona. Wildcats, 7.5-point favorites here around the table we go. Because I know you guys have the phones up. You have ready to
I've already
look
done it this morning.
I haven't looked at
Wildcats
it.
Or Tigers, John? Who do you like?
Oh, I took the Arizona. I think Arizona might make the Final Four. They got a good ball club there. I think they're going to put some points on the board. Clemson is
Arizona
a good team.
As well. They got some good guard play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because our guard play wins this league.
Isn't it 8 points?
So I got it at 7.
7. At least the last I saw.
It's 6.5 now.
Yeah.
It went down? I just pulled it up. Let me see. It sure did.
6.5.
Wow, it went down. Okay, so, see, that's why we ask Raphael next segment. Why did it go down?
Money's coming in somewhere else.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah,
let me pull it up.
San Diego State at and UConn, 6:39. This game is on TBS and True TV. UConn, 11.5-point favorites on that. Seems
that's
like a lot.
That's
huh?
a big number, but I like UConn going all the way.
I got UConn
is a good team.
Yeah, I like
well
them
coached,
too,
well coached, but not for 11. That's a lot.
It's
a big number. Yeah,
that's
it's a big number.
Okay.
No, I got it at 11.
What about Alabama, North Carolina tonight? That is 8:39 on CBS. UNC, 4.5-point favorites.
I got UNC tonight. UNC. I think UNC is another team that could make it.
Yeah, UNC is a very well-balanced
team.
They're very well-balanced.
They
balanced.
Cover 4.5.
Yeah.
They should.
Ewan Davis does a good job with them as well. I've been surprised.
They're back.
Him. They've recruited well, but they're very balanced. They're a very good team.
Love Iowa State.
And at 9:09, Illinois and Iowa State, like as you just said,
I
mentioned
love
there.
Iowa State.
What do you know about Iowa State? I'm just curious because
they're good.
They've
been pretty.
Well,
good
I heard someone
most of the season they've been.
They've got
they've
a really strong
good.
Bench.
Yeah, one of the guys that come on the show, I forgot which one it was. He was big, heavy. He thought Iowa State could be like a dog horse.
Yeah.
To get in the Final
what
Four.
What was their seed going in? They're 3 or something.
They're 2.
They're number 4
okay.
seed. I got them ready at 4th seed.
They were 4th seed?
I think, they got 4th seed here. They're playing Illinois at 10th seed.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's – you get it to this point. I mean, a lot of time it's chalk, but, I mean, teams like that nobody really talks about can make a little run, get the, you know, masses behind them.
Since we're not going to be here tomorrow to talk about it.
You want to go a Friday's game?
Yeah, go Friday.
We got Raphael coming on. We can do that a little bit with him. But if you like, we can do that. NC State and Marquette, who do you like?
Oh, man, NC State scares me. They've been playing some good basketball, but I got to go with Marquette. They got Marquette possibly getting to the Final
tonight?
Four.
No, that's
Friday.
Tomorrow.
I like Marquette as well.
Gonzaga and Purdue?
Oh, I got Gonzaga beat Kentucky at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Gonzaga just plays so good. I mean, Purdue's ranked third in this, and guys at 18th. Gonzaga, I'm going to go with Purdue.
I'm going Purdue as well just because Zach Edey is such a force inside. I mean, a kid can shoot free throws as well. They're going to have to foul him a little bit. But Gonzaga, they spread the ball around, and they can run. I mean, Mark Few's done a great job with that team. But I watched Purdue earlier this year. I think Purdue's got it.
They got a good
shot
here.
They're
just big and slow. I like Gonzaga in the points.
No, well, if you look in points, but, I mean, I'm talking about the game itself. I mean,
Duke and Houston. Houston 4.5-point favorites on this one. And I was listening to Sean Farman is the ESPN college basketball analyst that was on SVP at the end of last weekend. It's going to be two different styles of teams here as well, too. That's going to be an interesting matchup.
Duke's got a bunch of guys that are going to go to the league. I mean, their recruiting class coming in is about as good as the one that was with Zion Williamson and Jared Barrett and all those guys. Right. I mean, they're phenomenal.
Are we going to see some of these guys stay with NIL now more than 1 year?
I don't think so. I mean,
they don't want to do the school part of it.
I don't think so because of the fact that you got to get into the league. If you chance for injury is so high. I mean, you turn an ankle, you hurt a back. I mean, there goes your money. I mean, yeah, you can make some money in NIL, but you're talking NBA money. That's generational money.
And not just that. These guys, when they go to college, they know they're one and done. You know what they take for classes? All you need to do is pass 12-hour classes. They're taking basket weaving, you know, pencil sharpening, you know, stuff like that.
The Ole Miss curriculum.
I made it. I got a couple of F's. Hey. But look, I like Duke.
I tell you what, you do have the sharpest pencils around.
I do. Let me tell you something. I made Dean's List my last year at Southern Miss, and I took coaching football, coaching baseball, tennis.
Well, at least you're honest.
Yeah. But I also helped my career. I want to be able to, you know, understand this so I can talk about it.
Right. Well, by the way, I'm taking Duke tonight.
Has it helped you with the 7 and 8s? That's what I want to know. Baseball.
I can coach.
Okay.
The problem is that's
what
Carter
just said. You just told me Carter. This kind of is your second of it, season. Your son
that's a part of it. They have to listen to you.
It's the second season his son's playing, and he still ain't catching a baseball. What the heck have you been doing?
I'm never home.
Anna, get up off your couch.
She's the one that actually taught him to catch it six times yesterday before practice.
Well, you must be giving it wrong. You got him doing his club like this or something?
Well, you see,
probably got him catching like this.
No, I don't have him catching. Like, I played baseball. I grew up playing baseball. It's the sport that I could go out there right now and not look like a complete buffoon on it. I mean, that's my sport.
I don't know about that because you're probably like a buffoon in soccer.
I wouldn't even attempt. I don't enjoy running. I don't.
We already knew that when he said he could play goal and stop.
Well, that's different. I'm not running. I'm standing there trying to stop a ball.
That would not be good for you.
No. I would see you
Carver getting hit in the face. With a soccer ball coming at you at that speed. Yeah, uh-huh.
You might have some concussion issues to deal with.
That one video where this goalkeeper kept getting hit?
Yeah, get hit. Put a chair out there and he got hit.
Yeah.
He kept holding him up and he just kept getting hit over and over and over again. Would that be me?
Yeah.
Would that be me? Okay, that's fine. That's fine if we do that. Creighton in Tennessee tomorrow is the final game.
I love Tennessee.
I tell you what, that's a toss-up for me. I like Tennessee.
I like Creighton.
Creighton is well coached. McDermott does such a good job. They play to their strengths. The thing is, Tennessee has pros, like guys that are going to be.
And they well coached.
Barnes is good, but
Barnes has always struggled winning the big one.
You're right. He's always got him right there, but
doesn't
he couldn't Creighton get him
coach
over.
Do the same thing? Doesn't that coach struggle?
But you're talking about a different style of program. I mean, Creighton's he's kind of built it up for nothing, whereas Tennessee's got guys.
Creighton's like Gonzaga.
Well, I don't know if I put them at that point
yet. They can get there.
We're going to squash this argument right now.
Okay, that's why.
Because
my dear friend Murphy Noel just texted. He's a Tennessee fan.
Okay.
So we got to give it to Tennessee.
Okay.
SEC, baby.
Let me ask you all this real quick. We only have about 3 minutes left, and we're going to go and bring in Rafael Esparza and get his thoughts here on that and the NBA games tonight as the Pels do take on the Bucks. But there's a lot of talk about, hey, we didn't see the Cinderellas. When you look at these Sweet 16s, these are really good matchups, all like high seeds and the teams that go in there. I think we love, at least my opinion, I love the thought of it, right? But at the end of the day, I'm okay with what I also see here as well. Yeah. I love all of that. I love the possibility that exists for that.
You get it in the first round game, right? If you can get – I can point to the Kansas and Samford game because of my son and daughter. My daughter's there now. My son graduated there. But that was a game that – was like riveting because they came back and had a chance to win. That's what you get out of this tournament. Right. But really, when you get to the second, when you get to the second tournament, the Sweet 16, you're looking at chalk. You're looking at guys that are going to play in the NBA. You're looking at differentiator makers are going to be the guys that are the best point guards or guys that control the tempo, and your better coaches typically get you there.
But guys, this opens up the question. Do they need to add more teams?
No.
No, absolutely not.
I think it's ridiculous that they're trying to add more teams.
No.
I don't even know why they even have the play-in game.
The play-in game is,
stupid.
I don't like it.
As it is, but I'm glad.
The money grab them.
But we got in it. UNO got in it. Of course, we would have been in anyway because we won the tournament. But yeah, the play-in game's stupid.
Yeah, I don't like
it. We would have just gone on to play Villanova.
It is tough for a school, like I said, Samford, who had five losses all year long and had to win. They won their conference, which is a pretty good conference, and then they had to win the tournament. So, there wasn't going to be a bubble team. You either in or you out. So I like it from that standpoint, and I think 64 teams is plenty enough. But typically when you get the Sweet 16, that's when you're really talking about the tournament.
Right, starting. I mean, so, this is when the tournament starts.
That's what you guys like.
There's no real Cinderella this year.
Right.
I mean, North Carolina State. But
last year you did. Some people would turn their nose up and said, I don't even identify with these teams. The flip side, you kind of want some of those blue bloods in there. Because it is about, reminiscing the past of saying, the Kansases of the world, the UNCs, those type teams that you're just, enamored with because of the rich history they have.
I love watching the NCAA tournament. But if UNO, Tulane, or LSU aren't in it, I really lose interest. And LSU is really the only one that ever gets in it because the only way Tulane or UNO are going to get in it is so they win.
McNeese was in this year, so I know that's a sore spot for you with UNO,
they got waxed.
They got waxed. He's there. It's a puddle jump job for him, and they all know it.
Well,
he's not beating anybody.
It's true.
You took the points. I heard you say it.
I did because I saw him play.
Yeah, no, they were athletic.
Then I saw them get waxed.
Well, look who they stepped up in class.
Yeah,
that's
but
the
they,
thing.
They,
you know? Do you think Wade stays?
No, I think Wade goes.
No. No, I don't see it. He may stay one more year, but I think he goes.
But, I mean, why would he stay?
Well, no, when I say stay, I'm talking about this
Vandy's
year.
Yeah, I think he stays one more year.
One more coming season.
Yeah, and sees how it goes, but, he's... he took that job with the intent to
I understand.
And he's got $250,000 in NIL just for the basketball team. So.
Yeah, that's what the world is now. That's what it is. Big-time college basketball, big-time sports. It's about NIL. And that's what's been the downfall of some of the bigger coaches of leaving the leagues now because they're saying we don't want to deal with that.
Right.
So it is what it is. You got to change. You got to adapt. Like to any field, anything you do in life, you got to adapt and change. That's the way the situation is set up, and you got to make sure you play toward it because the teams that are doing it and doing it well are going to be the ones that are winning.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll bring in Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas, and in bottom of the hour, we'll raise John's blood pressure. We'll raise your blood pressure.
We talking
as well.
Saints?
We will talk Saints. I'm going to play.
Who that?
DA sound.
Who
let these two go at
That's
it
my
here.
Team.
Yep, I'll just let. I'm going to watch.
I'm going to be the voice of reason.
You can. Oh,
yes.
You know what? We could do that. You could be like the arbitrator or the mediator.
I'll
right?
be the voice.
So
of reason.
So we got 14-3 on one end. And what's yours?
I'm really nervous about the offensive line.
14-3.
That was before the ramp.
What's your win-loss record?
Well, my win-loss record was always going to be 7-10 or 6-11.
All right, so no faith.
Here
too
we go.
Much faith.
See,
No. He's going to be the arbitrator.
I'm going to be the
You're going to present why we shouldn't have faith.
I'm Judge Judy right here.
And he's going to present why you should have faith.
Judge General D.
And I'm just going to ask Carver to give us the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carver's got a new name for coach.
What's that?
For the coach.
You saw what the win total is, huh?
Carver, what's Coach Gus's new nickname? Coach?
They have a new nickname?
This is wonderful radio.
Started with an L. La. Coach La.
Coach
LaRussa.
LaRussa. No. Is that what you're teaching him over there?
Yes.
Coach LaRussa.
Don't listen to anything.
Oh, man.
Anyway, we're going to break. We come back. It's a sports thing.
You need some rest bands like Dusty Baker.
Go.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime in on the Reuter Man, Ken. hotline and guest line. Rafael Esparza now joins us here as well. Sir, how are you? You're missing a gorgeous day outside. A little chilly for you, I bet. How are you?
I am doing well. A little bit chilly, I do believe that. But it's just a fun day, a busy day with the first pitch is being thrown, with the first two afternoon games canceled. But we got Dodgers, Orioles coming up in a couple of hours, so it's a fun time.
Wait, we had games canceled already? Why? Weather?
Weather. Brewers, Mets, and Braves, Phillies.
Is that snow or is that rain? Snow or rain?
I think it's probably, well, it's in the East Coast, so I would say probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, I see it. Brewers and Mets and the Braves and Phillies. You know what? Let's do a round table here. We'll start with the Nationals and the Reds, as John Forcade is a two-year veteran of fanship of the Cincinnati Reds.
I was a Cincinnati Reds before you were born,
son. Okay, well, regardless, we're going to go with 2 years.
Yep.
What's the prospects of the Nationals and the Reds this year, as one of the reasons I think, guys, people are going to be following, I saw the video that Chris Blair posted, Dylan Cruz getting a hit in action, I think, yesterday with the Nationals. And obviously, I think he's going to be seeing some action with the Nationals. So what do the Nationals look like this year? What do the Reds look like this year?
I think the Nationals will be much better than last year. But let's talk about the Reds probably have to be the talk of the National League right now. Everyone thinks they can be that surprise team. Everyone thinks like they can be that Arizona Diamondbacks team this year. If I'm the Cubs and I'm the Cardinals, I'm scared of the Cincinnati Reds. They can easily come out and win this division. They can easily come out and win the wild card spot. And they can easily come out and beat a lot of these teams in the playoffs. They're young. They're exciting to watch. They don't have that veteran leadership in there now that they lost. I remember the first baseman that they lost. Now it was Toronto. That's going to be a big key missing out of the locker room. But this Reds team is fun to watch. They're going to be one of my top teams to watch this year.
I rest my case.
I can't argue with that. I think the Reds are going to be a very good young team. They were a very good young team last year. They faltered at the end. But I think they're going to be a really good team. The St. Louis Cardinals are my team. You know, you guys know that. But they've got some strong veteran leadership that had some off years last year. They were injured. And they've got some good young players that if they can stay healthy, the Cardinals are always a threat to win that division. I mean, that's just history has proven that. They've gotten some pitching this year. We've got Sonny Gray. Of course, he's on the 15-day DL. First two weeks.
I mean,
I think if the Cards can stay healthy,
yeah,
and
just ask him.
We've got a new softstop. We've got a new shortstop.
Like,
I think the Cardinals
asked you to be the PR department.
Cardinals, yeah.
Just
well,
ask
count
them
the
how
Cardinals
the Cardinals
out.
Are going to be.
I think they're going to be very good.
Okay, there it is. There it is.
And by the way, Rafael, it was Vito.
Joey Votto.
Yeah, I knew that.
But I didn't care.
Cardinals taking on the Dodgers tonight. I don't know who to root for. Cheating Dodgers or, you know, his Cardinals.
I don't know how anybody can pull for the Dodgers.
I don't know. Can we get a bet down on that game? Anybody know anybody we can call?
Stop it. Is there any action on this game,
Mookie Betts?
It's all been Yankee action, what I've seen so far. This one opened up minus $2, all the way bet up now to 240, 250. So the books are going to be looking for Dodger losses all season long. I don't think the Ohtani gambling thing is going to be a big fog over the team at all, because I think it's going to take a long time for this to get resolved, or this one's not going to get put to bed anytime early. So I don't think we're going to see any final answers coming on that one. I like Michael to say he's looking for a rebound a season for the Cardinals. So, Scott's 110% correct. If the Cardinals stay healthy, they're a top team, in not only in the division, but out of the National League. If they can't, which their pitching's already shown that they can't, they could be a very, very – they could be sellers during a trade deadline.
The team that I like, right, Rafael, is Atlanta. I mean, they got Chris Sale coming back.
Good.
I mean, he's a guy that did really well in the spring. I mean, that's a team I think you got to watch. I think you're right about the whole Ohtani thing. I think they're going to insulate him, sweep under the rug, kind of just keep that at bay. So I don't think that's going to be a major problem. But I think Atlanta's a team that you got to really keep an eye on.
Yeah. Atlanta's good. They love their pitching, but I like the Phillies in that them two are going to be battling. One of them wins the division. One of them makes the wild card.
Wow.
Phillies will be buyers during the trade down. I don't think the Braves are really not big buyers during trade deadlines. Even back in the days when they had Smoltz and Maddox and all that, I could see the Phillies grabbing an arm or grabbing another bat during a trade deadline. So don't sleep on the Phillies. I have the Phillies going to the World Series.
I felt like the Marlins kind of did a lot better last year than people kind of thought they were going to be. What are their prospects this year?
They're going to be a tough out. I would have to say this year the National League's probably a little bit better more than the American League. They're just in a tough division. You got the Braves, Phillies. I think the Marlins are going to be better than the Mets because, if the Mets slump this year, they're going to be sellers again. And look for Pete Alonso's name to come out. If they're slumping, the Cubs will be looking for the bat. The Phillies might be looking for a bat because I don't think Bryce Harper is going to be their first baseman forever up in Philly. So if the Mets struggle, look for Alonso to be in a trade block.
My real prediction is probably the Phillies and the Rangers in the championship, in the World Series. I think
I got a bigger upset for the American League is Brian. Seattle Mariners are going to be in the World Series.
They got a good team. They got a good team. You're right.
They had a good team last year.
What's going on with New York, man? It's nothing happening.
What's going
up there
on with the Cubs? Nobody said anything about the Cubs. In reality, I'm not. No joking.
Unlike some people on the show, I don't going to say my Cubs are going to make the playoffs, win the World Series, or the greatest team ever. I know my limits. The Cubs will make a wild card spot. I think it's going to be a battle between the Reds and Cubs for the division. And I have one of those two winning the division and one of them winning the wild card
unless
spot.
The Cardinals
that,
stay
I don't
healthy.
See them going to the long in the World Series.
Unless the Cardinals stay healthy, right?
Yeah. Hey, that's working.
You said it.
So what do you think of the Yankees? What about the Yankees?
They got too many issues on pitching.
Yeah, they got no pitching.
I think the Juan Soto contract is probably going to be lingering over them all season long. Is he going to sign an extension? Is he going to stay there? If they're healthy and they can hit, then yeah, they're in there. But I just can't. Garrett Cole. Cole might be out all season. He may come back too soon and blow his arm up again. If he can't pitch 20 times this year, they're done.
Wow.
Same thing you're looking at for Boston. Boston doesn't look that good.
I know the Orioles last year had one of their better seasons in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. So they're your AL East winners.
Yeah, they got Burns from Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Add another arm in their pitching staff. They'll make some moves during the trade deadline because again. If Boston struggles, or even if they say the Yankees struggle, they got Giancarlo, they would probably love to get rid of him in his contract. And this trade deadline this year is going to be phenomenal because there's going to be a lot of people trying to get rid of a lot of big names with big contracts.
What's up with the Brewers, man? I mean, it just seems like they built up a pretty decent team, and then they just sell. They get rid of all their players. I don't get it.
And their head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing why I'm not picking the Cubs to do anything. A lot of the Cubs players were upset that they fired Rossi and brought the Brewers manager over here. So it's going to take a long time for that thing to gel with a brand new hitting coach, with a head coach, pitching staff, stuff like that. So that's why I'm not. I would love to say, the Cubs are going to make the playoffs, win the World Series, but it's going to take a little bit of time for them to gel.
All right. They're making fun of me over here. Rafael, we did a little college basketball. We've done a little MLB as the season gets started today. How about the NBA tonight? Obviously, let's start in New Orleans. Pelicans taking on the Bucks. 1.5-point favorites for Milwaukee. Who do you like?
Well, they laid an egg last week. Our last time out, we saw them against OKC. I mean, they had a nice comeback, took the lead over, and then they just blew it again. It's all about Milwaukee. If we see the Bucks continue to play like they have been playing, then I think they win this game. I think they have too much size. You can tell they are missing Ingram. That last game against OKC, you could tell they were missing Brandon Ingram. I think we're going to see again that they're missing Brandon Ingram. I like the Bucks tonight laying a small number one.
And the only other game tonight, Celtics and the Hawks. Boston 16.5-point favorites on the road.
16.5-point favorite. I'm watching college basketball. I ain't watching that game. I miss you guys watching college basketball. Why is Iowa State the quietest number two in probably in NCAA tournament history? No love for Iowa State. I think they beat Illinois tonight.
All right, let's go through that quickly because we did that a little bit ago. with the guys kind of giving their takes on it. We'll go rapid fire, sir. Who do you like, Clemson or Arizona tonight?
I like Clemson plus the points.
San Diego State and UConn.
Upset, San Diego State.
Alabama, North Carolina.
They're the ones that cut down the nets. North Carolina for me.
Illinois, Iowa State.
Give me the Cyclones.
On Friday's action, NC State and Marquette.
The slipper comes off. Give me Marquette.
Mm-hmm. Gonzaga, Purdue.
Gonzaga covers, Purdue wins.
Duke and Houston.
I like Duke. I hate my twin brother's a big Dukey fan. I'm not a Dukey fan, but I think Duke puts the upset on him.
Creighton and Tennessee.
Give me the Blue Jays.
All right. Little Blue Jays there.
Coach McDermott.
I like the
Blue Jays. By the time we talk again on Monday, the final four teams will be.
I don't have a bracket in front of me, but it's going to be North Carolina, Marquette. Can't think of the other one that's coming out.
UConn.
What was that?
UConn.
Well, I got San Diego State coming out of that conference.
Okay, you got San Diego State.
Ooh. What?
Iowa State? No, you got San Diego State on that.
I got Iowa State in the East.
Okay.
North Carolina in the West, Marquette in the South, and Creighton in the Midwest.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm not taking number ones like every Joey on ETV and radio. UConn's winning back-to-back. I like upsets. Give me some upsets.
Well, that doesn't mean they're going to be there because you like them.
All right, well.
You're supposed to be the
one-on-one on North
You're
Carolina.
A professional prognosticator.
UConn's good, man. They are
UConn's good.
They're real good.
All right, and of course we can go through the ladies, but of course we just want to know
the
LSU. Do they beat UCLA?
No, UCLA wins that region.
Yeah, they've been struggling shooting the ball.
So my friend Murphy's listening. He just talking about Raphael. He said, who is that with those whack-ass picks?
That's a Tennessee guy.
I'll be like a guy that's on TV. Give me UConn, North Carolina, UConn, and Purdue as the final four.
Going all chalk.
Iowa, Colorado for the ladies. Does Caitlin Clark get to the Elite Eight?
Who did Colorado beat this year?
LSU.
Kansas
LSU.
State, and they beat Drake to get to on
Colorado Iowa. Beat LSU this year?
They did.
Iowa this year.
They will be
Caitlin Clark goes down.
Thank God.
Wow. Yeah, I think Colorado would beat Iowa.
So you have UCLA and Colorado facing off there. USC, Juju. Does Juju make it? You got UConn and Duke at 7 o'clock. In 2 days on ESPN.
I like UConn in that one. McBuckets, she needs some help. I mean, she needs the bench to do something for her.
She's been playing well.
She's being outplayed. So they need some help for her.
All right, over in
Clark, she needs help.
Regional 4, you got NC State and Stanford. Cardinal kind of just got out of that one against Iowa State. Do you have them moving on or NC State?
I like NC State. They're playing much better.
Texas and Gonzaga tomorrow on ESPN. Who do you like there?
Texas.
I like the Zags. The Zag ladies go farther than the Zags men.
All right. And then you got Oregon State and Notre Dame, a 2-seed.
I love that freshman from Notre Dame. She's fun to watch.
South Carolina and Indiana. The Gamecocks have looked dominant. 91-39, 88-41. They have Indiana.
They're pissed this year.
Yeah.
Well, that's the best way to put it.
Yep.
I think they got some unfinished business. Raphael, as always, appreciate the time. Anything you have to pay attention to with the world of fisticuffs?
Nah, nothing too outrageous. It's all about the Sweet 16, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, soccer gets back into action, MLS, English Premier League. I mean, it's just a fun thing to do this weekend.
You got anything on
Easter, everybody, too.
Yeah, what about Mike Tyson? You got anything on him?
He is fighting that match, and I heard Netflix and Top Rank are in serious negotiations to bring boxing into Netflix. That's why they're doing that fight.
All right. Rafael Esparza, as always, appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
All right, Raf.
Big easy, guys.
All right, when we come back, yelling between Chef Scotty and John Forkey.
I'll be the voice of reason.
It's the Sports Hangover.
Let's go!
Got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Here he is. How we doing? Good to see you. We are live back at Francesca by Katie's Deli Pizzeria Catering. I'm going to do a pizza tonight for dinner at the arena. What do you think?
A pizza from the arena?
No, from
here?
You, man.
Yeah.
Come on. Why? What?
I don't know.
No.
You said you're going to have pizza at the arena.
I could strategically do something, too, that like Chris and Graf wouldn't eat either, you know. Put like some pineapple and bacon on there. That way I don't have to
share. Black olives.
All that kind of stuff. That's what I love. All right. I do want to play this for you guys. And in general, D, I know you want to touch on the Pels. We'll focus on that here coming up in hour number two. I know Chef is going to a meeting here in a little bit. So when he bails out there, we'll go talk a little more Pels here. But I want to get him and John at it because... I heard this.
I got a meeting at 2.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm trying to get you in and out right here. So Dennis Allen spoke for about 40 minutes this week at the owners' meetings and touched on a handful of topics, the receiving room, safety, all of that as well. He was also asked kind of essentially what I called it, the state of the team, where he thinks the team is right now through free agency, heading into the draft, and kind of where they are. So I just state of the team at the end of March.
Yeah, look, I like where we're at as a football team right now. You know, I certainly feel like there's some things that we still need to address. And yet we got plenty of time to do that and plenty of avenues to do that. You know, with the draft coming up, you know, in about a month here, I think there's some things that we can address through the draft. There's always going to be another wave of guys that become available through free agency, you know, after the draft, really all the way up and into training camp. You know, there's avenues that we can utilize to, you know, fill some spots in the roster. So I think Mickey, Kai, those guys, they do a great job managing the cap. Certainly the cap going up like it did this year helped us, but it went up the same for everybody, so everybody got the same benefit. So, yeah, we're just, you know, we're in that stage of the offseason where you're continuing to try to, you know, add some personnel pieces to your team to try to see if you can improve.
All right, so Chef Scotty at 1:37 p.m. on this beautiful, gorgeous Thursday afternoon here in Lakeview. How do you feel about your New Orleans Saints?
I'm concerned about the offensive line, which is the elephant in the room. The Ramczyk news was a setback, in my opinion. They've got to get some offensive line in the building. You've got to hope that Penning can play guard or become a tackle that he was supposed to be. They've picked up what's the offensive lineman they picked up
the guy from Minnesota?
Big Minnesota, guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, guard.
Yeah, from what I gathered,
he was
depth.
A decent pickup.
That's depth.
Yeah, but
as in
they've done pretty well in free agency with what they have.
What about developing Salivary? I mean,
Salivary too.
I have him. I have
but he's a guard.
Yep.
He's guard. You need a tackle.
Yeah.
I think he picked tackle first.
Well, here's what
but you asked me.
Yeah.
I just think if they can get the offensive line together and get some players and keep Carr upright, this team can be very good.
Okay. John, your counterpoint to that?
No, I have to agree with Scott on the O-line. I've said O-line since last year, and I've said this all this year. First of all, they knew Ramczyk was a damaged goods coming here. Why did they not go right off the bat looking for a lineman? Put everything in the baskets, you know, dig up money, you know, cut players, do whatever you got to do. They got to get offensive linemen on this squad. Now, you talk about Penny. Can Penny play right tackle?
Well, so Ross Jackson, and I asked him about this again yesterday.
I think he's a guard.
Okay, well, I asked him about this again yesterday. All two to three people here that I'm looking at, what's the one thing you saw Penning do at all since he's been here that's remotely decent?
Nothing.
Oh, come on. He was involved in one of those touchdown runs.
Yeah,
he got
he's
hurt
a run block.
Okay,
he's
a run block. Yeah. Run block.
You saw his size,
yeah.
right?
Size, well, they talked yeah. about how he was a mauler at okay. block. Yes. Right. You put him in his
which
well,
is a card.
Hear me out, though. In this offense, this is what Ross is saying. In this offense, it is a run-based offense.
Correct.
That might play to his strengths. And also, one of the things I was told was, you know, he had trouble remembering the plays. Maybe this, since everyone is learning it at the same time, maybe this will, I'm saying is, maybe there's hope that he can still be a left tackle, is what I'm getting at. And it will save you having to go get two tackles in one
I think that's
I'm with you. I need two.
Right.
But I'm just telling you, the way he said it too,
so
it will
the
make
voice
sense.
Of reason here, Gus, right. is if you are banking on him being your left tackle based upon what we saw at training camp on how he used to get very high on speed rushers and get mauled and
okay,
thrown over. He's a guard.
I hear you.
Well, put him at right tackle.
I don't even know if he can play right tackle.
Okay, so this is what
they would have did it last year. If
this is what Dennis Allen talked about the scheme. And it's not specific about Ramczyk. It's not specific about Penning, but just here. Maybe you can make a deduction.
You know, this whole offense is going to be based on, you know, kind of the run, play action game. I mean, obviously, you know, drop back's going to be a part of it. But, you know, the main emphasis is going to be able to run the ball effectively, and then be able to create some shot plays in the passing game off the play action. So I think that's something that we can use. I mean, look, you know, Clint and Rico, John Benton, like these guys have been together before, so I think there's some continuity in terms of getting the program, you know, off the ground and getting started.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. Can I at least not hope that the guy you drafted in the first round, can he block for half a second in the passing game? I mean, that's what I'm needing. That's what I'm basically hoping to do.
A new offensive staff that could maybe coach this guy.
But I guess that's my hope, is can I get something at him from left tackle that sort of help? Now, again, because James Hurst will be your guard because Andres Pete hasn't been re-signed. Right now you have two offensive linemen that you know will show up and play tomorrow.
Right.
McCoy.
And Ruiz.
And he was banged up. And he struggled
well,
at the end
and
of the
he's
year.
Not, he as Matt Moscona said, he's the lowest pro football focused ranked guard.
And you bring Pete back. So, look, you can't go wrong having
I'm with
extra lineman.
No, John, the whole point that I'm saying
Well, Landon Young hasn't panned out. That's a guy that played at Kentucky.
The whole point
was a pretty good player.
The point that I'm making here is that you absolutely have to go 14.
Landon Young is a draft pick.
Yeah, but here's what D.A. had to say on Saldivar.
Golly, I feel like I keep repeating myself, you know, with the same stuff, because here's another young guy that we feel optimistic about, but we really don't know a lot about. And so, but you know, we're anxious to see him get out there and get to work and see what he can do. I mean, look, when we drafted him as a kid that we could bring in, develop, and ultimately our vision would have been for him to develop into a starting guard. And so we'll see how quickly we can make that vision come to life.
That's the thing. You cannot develop anybody in this draft at 14. Whoever you pick at 14 has got to come in and start.
That's correct. What frustrates me about this team.
I'm with
is that you're developing guys as though you have, like, all these players already in line.
I'm with
you don't have that. You could use the same soundbite for Isaiah Foskey. Foskey's a guy that was a second-round pick and didn't make an impact at all for you.
He played in 10 of 17 games. It was healthy scratches everywhere else. Here we go.
Peyton number turn. One, he's got to cut it loose. You know, I think this last year, you know, was a big learning year for him. And so my hope is that he has a great offseason. He's able to spend, you know, he understands what we're doing defensively, and so he's less concerned about, you know, learning the defense, and he's able to just go cut it loose and go play. And I think that's what I'm looking to see. Now, it's going to be a while before we can actually see that happen. You're not seeing it, you know, really as you go through OTAs and minicamp. But I think that's just part of the process. But I really want to see him kind of cut it loose.
That's DA on Foskey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they didn't draft him to be a project. He ended up being a project. He's not as good as they thought he was going to be. They thought he would play right away. So what he's saying now is maybe he's learned this year and he's going to play. Maybe Peyton Turner stays healthy. I mean, you know, and maybe Chase Young works out. I mean, if all these, if this team can stay healthy and get some offensive linemen, stay healthy, keep Derek Carr upright, focus on the running game, which is they seem to never do. It's like they're still living in the Peyton Breeze era. They need to focus on the running game more and use play-action passes and not throw on first down. This team can be good. That's my opinion.
Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNAE.
John's not even
ESPN.
You
got nothing. John just is staring at you.
No, I'm just saying, yeah.
I know. It's a shame.
It sounds good in theory.
Yeah.
I mean, to be the voice of reason once again. But there's a lot of ifs you're talking about.
You can say this every
and
team.
And we need to make sure that these picks hit. And you have to have these guys on the field.
Every problem has a solution.
We're going to talk a lot more about this coming up here. West Bank Rick after Jeff Boggs is the Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
With Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. That is the Rudiman Can Hotline and Guest Line. Jeff Boggs from our sister station KNAE. At the plate in the on-deck circle, we have West Bank Rick. We'll be coming to you here shortly. Jeff, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, how can anything be bad? The weather's perfect. Let's play two.
I hear you. A little doubleheader action here as well. Do you have any MLB odds and maybe perhaps a World Series winner that you want to go with?
Yeah, let's take a look at that first. ESPN bets, all the prop bets, future bets that you can handle. And no surprise after the Dodgers spent a whole lot of money in the offseason that they're the Major League Baseball favorite to win the World Series this year. ESPN bet has them at plus 350. The Atlanta Braves not far behind, plus 500. And going back to the Dodgers, boy, with things hanging over Ohtani right now, I know the Dodgers, Major League Baseball, hoping that it's a short investigation. But again, Dodgers looking good. The Houston Astros got a lot of Astro fans in Louisiana. They are plus 800. They open up today against the Yankees, who are plus 900. So those are your top four favorites. But I know we're both Cub fans. Let's hope. Maybe a small investment would get us plus 2,500 if the Cubs can find a way to win the World Series. Cubs playing the Rangers today, the returning or defending Major League champs, plus 1,500. So a couple of ideas you may want to look at if you're thinking about investing early for a World Series champion.
Yeah, I got that. See if the Cubs can get one win, still not be out of it by April. That's my goal every year, Jeff. Can we still be around by the time April ends? Going on that aspect of it. What do you think? You think the Cubbies can at least make it interesting all the way around?
You know, I like their chances. I think a lot of the moves they made in the offseason were positive, keeping Bellinger, picking up a couple others, and their youths. The farm system is one of the best, and those kids can maybe help out a little bit this season as well. I watched a lot of preseason games, and granted, they are what they are. They're not always competitive, but you know, I liked what I saw. So, Seiya Suzuki is looking fantastic. Finished last year, and in fact, you know, the Cubs, the line today, Texas favored by 1.5. It's even money on the Cubs, minus 120 for the Rangers today, and you can find all the baseball games at ESPN bet the over under 8.5, but Cubs come in with pretty high expectations. Today's matchup, Steele versus Eovaldi, a matchup of all stars capable of going out dominating any given start. But if you like today's game to go over, you're not alone. And again, 8.5, the over under. The Cubs actually had a pretty high powered offense last season. They finished third in the National League in runs. Bullpen really let them down late in the season. They'll now have a much more efficient lineup. Craig Counsell, new this year. A lot of excitement about him coming down from Milwaukee. And again, Seiya Suzuki, he was out of his mind down the stretch, and he's had a great spring. But then look at the Rangers. They led the AL in hits, home runs, average, on-base percentage, and slugging. Now they get a full season of Evan Carter. Well, you certainly hope so. And by the way, the game is in Arlington. Rangers had a higher average by 22 points and higher OPS by 107 at home this season. Globe Life Park saw the second highest OPS, was second in runs scored last season. So a lot of folks like the over today against the Rangers. Cubs at Rangers today. Game starting at 6:30 on ESPN.
All right. To the NBA we go. Pels and Bucks. How do you see this one?
Just a couple of games on the NBA slate today. Pretty rare, maybe giving deference to opening day in baseball. But Pelicans play the second game of that big six-game homestand, and the opponents in this homestand to be reckoned with. Bucks 46-26 on the season, a couple of games ahead of the Pelicans. Of course, they're in different conferences, but two games between them. New Orleans had won 5 out of 6 games before losing to Oklahoma City Tuesday. The Bucks had won 4 out of 5 prior to its double overtime loss to the Lakers on Tuesday. The Bucks in second place in the Eastern, Pelicans fourth in fifth now in the Western, and we didn't get much help from the Clippers or the officials last night, did we?
No.
But the
I wish I could say more. It's almost an expected thing. I don't know, man. It is what it is. But see what happens, man.
Well, Pelicans getting a point and a half tonight, home underdogs. But the money has been moving toward the Pelicans. Over under 224.5 money line. Pelicans even, basically. The Bucks minus 120. And again, a couple of reasons why the Pels could cover. Zion's playing fantastic, 36-point performance Sunday, but again, he's been playing real well. Pels are 15-4 in their last 19 games in March on Milwaukee, just 1-4 in its last 5 road games. But maybe one of the reasons the Bucks can cover, Milwaukee coming off a 3-game homestand, began with wins over the Nets and Thunder. Bucks easily covered the spread as 2.5-point favorites in their win over the Thunder. Giannis, 30 points, 19 boards. Bucks have covered the spread in 11 of their last 16 games, and they've covered in 4 of their last 5 games against the Pels. Tight spread, Pelicans home underdog, but I'm not sure I'd take that money right now.
How can folks get involved with a little ESPN bet, sir?
Absolutely. ESPN bet, the official sports book of ESPN bet. ESPN Bet live in Louisiana, the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. New users, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets, bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, all the props you can handle. Again, ESPN Bet, download it today. What a play. Remember, you got to be over 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. And again, terms and conditions apply. See that app for details. Gus, back to you.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate the time. As always, Mr. Jeff Boggs, my sister station, KANE. West Bank Rink, what's up, sir? You got about 4 minutes until the top of the hour. What you got?
Hey man, I got a baseball for you, Son Carver. That's soft enough so you can practice with him. Cause I do coaching during the summertime while I'm still coaching in the park over at Oakdale. If they got any 13, 14 year olds that can play baseball, come on out there. April 1st or April 8th, 6 or 1 of those things. I wanted to ask Double D, why is Larry?
What? Why is Larry what?
Why is Larry what? You cut out.
Why is he playing? Down the stretch over Jonas?
It's a lot of things.
I like you called you Double D.
Look, Double D, why is Larry not scoring? Why Larry got more minutes than Jonas? Why Larry not rebounding? Why Larry guarding the weakest defense? Why Larry?
Well, I've had some texts with Gus discussing that exact same thing. Jonas didn't play in the second half, and it seemed like we play a lot of times to the strengths of the other team opposing instead of opposing our will on the opponent. Yep. And Jonas actually against OKC was doing pretty well inside and was putting some pressure on Chet Holmgren. And then I think what Willie thought was we need to go faster, which is more of a run-and-gun type game, which does negate some of Jonas's ability to get up and down the floor. But to your point, down the stretch, we could not secure a rebound. All you saw was Larry tipping balls out. He wasn't really pulling anything down. And he really doesn't give you a whole lot of points unless he makes a slash to the goal and somebody hits him on a cut. So I scratch my head with it as well, and it seems like we were going to have to either move Jonas at the break, which we didn't do, and now we're playing him less minutes, and it's crazy on how often we shoot the ball with Larry from the corner, too. I don't know. I don't understand some of the things that are going on, and I do think that he should be out the rotation. I think he's a guy that's getting way too many minutes. Same thing with Jose and Najee. I think we need to have more scoring on the floor. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
So, Gus even said this. We're putting a double-double. We have a double-double, a walking double-double. And then he draws a double-team. I would love to play somebody that could draw a double-team so you could be able to move the ball around. And isn't that spacing? I just don't understand why.
The one thing I think that's going through Willie's head is that, and this is what a lot of people look at, Jonas does clog up the lane a little bit for Zion. But when Zion's playing like he is, and Jonas is capable of hitting a 15-footer, I don't think he's consistently enough shooter from three. I know they have him shoot threes. I think he can hit a 15-footer from a stop-and-pop situation. But they think that Larry is going to give you more than Jonas because of his athleticism. And I'm on your camp as well. I think Jonas needs to have additional minutes that he's not getting in the second half. And I surely thought that last game when we got the lead or we got the game back to even, that Jonas should have came back in the game.
Yeah, because they said that the offense was stale. So if the offense gets stale, guess what? Dump it down to Jonas, let him back down whoever's sticking him, right. And then if they double-team, he's smart enough
kick
to get rid of the ball. I just don't understand
right.
why they don't use
Jonas
that guy.
Will give you points. I mean, he's not going to give you
defense. And the thing he gives you, he can shoot free throws as well. And a lot of big men in this league aren't good free throw shooters, but he is. So I'm with you, West Bank Rick. I think that we need to start utilizing Jonas a little bit more. But there are certain games and certain matchups that you have to go smaller. But I think in a situation that we were in last game, that down the stretch was inexcusable that Zion didn't have the ball in the last 2.5 minutes.
Thank you, West Bank Rick. We'll see you tonight, sir.
Thanks, Rick.
Chef Scotty, before you get on up out of here, final thoughts?
I'm still waiting on my meat.
Oh, well, never mind.
It's coming here.
We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.